prosecutions, I imagine, and that will have some impact on the court's criminal workload. If it's a felony, it will be in the Superior Court. If it's a misdemeanor, in the District Court. With reference to page 3, the civil liability, as I said, I'm assuming that the court will continue to be involved in that. It's sort of confusing to me how that's meant to work, and perhaps Senator Ray went into detail on that, and perhaps we could contact Minnesota to find out. But it appears to be analogous to a statute that Alaska has with regard to shoplifting that makes it a civil penalty. It still involves the court. We see a significant increase in District Court cases as merchants come into court to enforce their rights under this act. I would imagine that's the whole purpose of this bill, is to give them a mechanism to do that. Whether or not that's good social policy is your decision, but one thing that we would want to look into is to the extent to which that's going to impact the District Court's workload. Again, this isn't the official court position, but I asked the presiding District Court judge in Anchorage to review this bill, and she thought that in Anchorage it could take up to half of a judge's time and hearing cases of this nature. And of course, it's the position of that court that they're overworked as it is, and there's a bill in the House that would increase the number of District Court judges in Anchorage. Also, although a civil procedure seems to be created, I don't see anything here that repeals the criminal procedure, which makes it sort of confusing. When will criminal penalties be sought? When will it be processed civilly? How will those work together? So again, those are...
Can you do them both? I mean, can you do them both?
Yeah, certainly you could. Again, the court really doesn't make decisions whether this is a good bill or a bad bill, but we do feel it will have a fiscal impact, and would hope within the next week that we can put together some information as to exactly what that impact would be. We do think it would be a major impact.
You really think so?
Yes, that's Elaine Andrews, the presiding judge in Anchorage, believes that it will be.
Mr. Chairman, if I might. Right now, Class B felony for certain bad checks. If the check's over $500, it's a Class C felony. If it's over $50, but less than $500, it's a Class A misdemeanor. These are criminal sanctions. You're familiar with the criminal statutes and all this. And how often are these criminal statutes actually used? Aren't most of these people that write bad checks basically here today and gone tomorrow, or hard to trace, or judgment proof, or not the kind of people that the criminal justice system concentrates its resources on? And why would this bill change that? I'm not saying this is an argument for the bill. Maybe it's an argument against it, because it wouldn't make that much difference. But I just wonder how much of the court system, how much time it spends now in processing and bad check charges, and why would this increase it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think the problem is, and I will speculate at this point, that in the hierarchy of offenses that prosecutorial resources are devoted to, that when we have such a high incidence of violent crime, those are the sorts of things that tend to be prosecuted. I've heard in the scuttlebutt that merchants are very upset that their cases are perceived as relatively minor. And I would see this as being intended to give them a mechanism to come into court on their own, to have an attorney bring in a volume of cases, and essentially a do-it-yourself NSF procedure to make it easier for them to have some sort of... Right, and that's, to me, where the major impact is going to come in, because I would imagine right now not many of these lower-level offenses are being prosecuted, and that would be a major reason for having legislation of this sort. It would inevitably have an impact. That would be part of its rationale. But that is speculation on my part.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Obviously, the bill needs a little work. However, I'd like to read a letter. This is just written 1 week ago from Minnesota. It says, We found a major criticism that the financial institutions rarely checked on predecessor account information for new applicants. So one of the major elements of this bill was to require some uniform information to be taken and a requirement for financial institutions to verify this information. The banking community lobbied strongly against this provision, but the legislature evidently prevailed. And this is rather interesting. The legislation is working well with approximately 25% decline issuance of bad checks in Minnesota. So, maybe this isn't the method, but maybe somewhere in this ream of paper there might be a method which is satisfactory to everyone and accomplish what really the bill is trying to do. Thank you. We have that's all we have in that particular, but unless someone else wants to testify. Executive order 57. Vincent? Sorry to keep you waiting, but...
No problem, sir. For the record, my name is Vincent O'Reilly, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development. And Senator, I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, the opportunity to appear before you in regard to Executive Order Number 57. What we have here is a transferring of the statutory authority from the Office of the Governor to Commerce and Economic Development. As you read through the Executive Order, you can see that all of the functions, all the requirements that are presently required of the, I call it the Asian Office, have been transferred by this executive office to, by this executive order, to Alaska Foreign Office. I think the situation is one where, by this executive order, it properly places the Office of Commerce and Economic Development where the responsibility of promoting economic development now lies. Secondly, it statutorily provides for the staff of the Foreign Office to report to the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development rather than the Governor. I have with me Mrs. Lois Cook, the very able administrative officer of the department, and also a representative from the Department of Law, if there are questions that go beyond my knowledge. If there are any questions to me, Mr. Chairman, I'm more than welcome at this point.
Thank you, Vince. Any questions? There don't appear to be any opposition to the change of name. Of course, there are some questions why we chose the name of Foreign Office. Sort of sets us aside as a,
we'd
like to act that way, but we're really not a foreign
country.
Don't
we have a Navy?
Maybe. Maybe the Asian office would be more appropriate, I think, but it's the governor's choice. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you very kindly, Senator.
I think the procedure here would be to just, go ahead, would be just to draft the letter.
No, you can sign the regular committee.
It's a committee report.
Mm-hmm. Just change the wording.
Recommend for approval, I suspect, would be the proper wording. Senator Sackett has already indicated he'd sign the report.
Fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that's
Finally
it.
Finally weirded him out.
Yeah, we weirded him out.
Do you want to officially adjourn?
Meeting's adjourned.